Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll talks about modeling forgiveness in the home.
It's always your move. It's always your move.
You're the one who's offended. It's your move to go and make it right. You're the one who's been offended. It's your move to forgive whether they ever come or not. It's your move.
When a son or daughter offends you, whether as a child or an adult, it's always your move to go and make it right. That's one of the lessons we're learning in our current study. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes a message introduced earlier this week. It's based on our study in Matthew 5 and 18, called Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts. It's possible you're dealing with a broken relationship right now. Whether you're the one who's offended or you're the one who's caused the offense, we're about to learn profound lessons on forgiveness.
God's forgiveness of us is complete, thorough, constant, consistently ours to claim. But our forgiveness of one another is another story. Look. That slave, the one forgiven of $300+ million debt, went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Now, we don't use denarii in our coinage. One denarius is worth about 16 cents. It's what a person earned in one day's wage. And he comes to this fellow slave who owes him 16 bucks, and he seizes him. He sees him. And begins to choke him, saying, "You pay back what you owe me." Whoa. You know what's so amazing about it? It's so hypocritical. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will repay." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So, interestingly, as is always true, there was a camera there. So when his fellow slaves snapped the pictures, they went to the Lord of the slave. Look, so it happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Now, watch. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you?" So what did he do? And, see the connective? Same sentence. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturer until he should repay all that was owed him. Whoa. Torturers. The story ends with verse 35, the application. Look at it. My Heavenly Father will also do the same to you. These are the words of Jesus. This is a statement of promise. My Heavenly Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Now, he says it. My job is to declare it. The torturers. One respectable and admirable expositor describes the torturers. This is a marvelously expressive phrase to describe what happens when we don't forgive one another. It is an accurate description of gnawing resentment and bitterness, the awful gall of hate or anger or envy. It is a terrible feeling. We cannot escape it. He continues, we feel strongly this separation from one another. And every time we think of them, we feel within the acid of resentment and hate eating away at our peace and calm. I'll live for the day I'll strangle the bird with my own hands. That's the torturers. The result is becoming a heavier drinker, becoming more brutal, more enraged, more impatient, more offensive, less humble, less teachable. It's the torturers. I must ask you to pause right here and think. Have you been turned over to the torturers? Think. Could this explain why you cannot let it go? Could this be the reason your own acid of resentment is eating away at your peace and calm? Could this explain why you have such an issue with anger, rage? Could this explain the temper that flares up to the point of, a dangerous decision? Could this mean why you have become so brutal, restless through the night and troubled through the day? Only you know, I've been there. It's horrible. About ruined me. Till a good friend of mine said to me, you know, Chuck, I think it's probably gone on long enough. You need to let it go. He was right. And for that reason, I couldn't feel closer to him for his honesty in saying to me, you know what, man, you're a bigger man than that. Forgive him. He was right. I did. The torturers left. The single most important response to remember, very simple, listen to the words, it's always your move. It's always your move. You're the one who's offended, it's your move to go and make it right. You're the one who's been offended, it's your move to forgive whether they ever come or not. It's your move. I'll make it personal. If I have injured someone, it is my move to go and make that right. And I have done that more times than I can number. I don't say it proud or bragging. I say it because it tells you what a sinful man I am. I've spoken angrily toward my wife and sought her forgiveness. I have mistreated one or more of my children and gone through the process of telling them. It grieves me to think what it cost. How deeply I'm troubled by that. I've had friends that I have hurt that have decided there's not a friendship there because of my actions, and I have done my best to rebuild it. And those occasions when I know that I have done what is wrong, I've not let time pass unless it was just virtually impractical to connect, which nowadays there's hardly such an experience in light of the electronic method of communication. But it's always best to do it face to face. Always best. It's my move. You know the truth of it? Louis never did get back to him. He never was able to get at him. It's an interesting twist in the story. Return with me to that story. This is before his conversion. One day, Louis was overcome by a strange, inexplainable feeling, and suddenly the war was all around and in him. In random moments, he felt like lice and flies wriggling over his skin when there was nothing there. It only made him drink harder. One day he opened a newspaper and saw a story that riveted his attention. A former Pacific POW had walked into a store and seen one of his wartime captors. The POW called the police, who arrested the war criminal. As Louis read the story, all the fury within him converged. He saw himself finding the bird, overpowering him, his fists bloodying his face, and then his hands locking about the man's neck. In his fantasy, he killed the bird, slowly savoring the suffering he caused. If he could get back to Japan, he could hunt him down. He was going to kill the monster. You know what was happening? He had been turned over to the torturers in spades. Only by the grace of God did he not find the bird, and did he not commit murder, and did he not spend the rest of his days in prison. Following his conversion, listen to the difference. That night, the sense of shame, powerlessness that had driven his need to hate the bird vanished. He was no longer his monster. He was only a man. With a shiver of amazement, he realized that he had felt compassion. Something shifted sweetly inside him. It was forgiveness.
Powerful book called Unbroken, Louis Zamperini described his pursuit of forgiveness and the power of restitution. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message titled Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts. And now Chuck Swindoll turns the table to tell an intensely personal story of restoration.
I'm going to share something that we've not shared publicly before, but it ties it all together. Okay? A number of years ago, through a series of events I will not describe, Cynthia and I became aware of a distance that our children felt toward us. We didn't realize it, though we did realize there were occasions when things weren't just really right. We felt uneasiness. On occasion, there was a sense of distance and whatever. And during that period of time, we became aware of some of the things that had distanced them from us. It's a very difficult thing for me to talk about. And we did not know quite what to do because we wanted to make it right. We didn't know how. We have a mutual friend who is a very wise and seasoned counselor, and I called him. And I said to him, let me tell you where we are right now. I think we may need your help. He's very gracious. He listened without saying a word, and he said, oh, yeah, he said, I got it. You need to meet with them all alone, not their mates, not in your home. We need to find a neutral place where the two of you meet with the four of them. But before you meet, I want you to write down for your sake, not make copies. We're not handing this out. For your own notes, write down the things for which you are sorry. You want to apologize. Understand, when you come together with them, it's not to force them to accept your apology. This is all going in that direction. You owe them these words of sincere apology. And he said, I want to tell you before we do, and I'll be there. I said to him, I'd love to fly you out, have you in the meeting, because we're in over our heads. There'll be a lot of emotion. There'll be an enormous number of tears. And he said, I know there, and I will be there. So we worked out a mutually agreeable time. We did not explain to our four adult children what we were going to do, but we planned a place where we would meet. Happened to be a hotel room. And we asked them not to bring their mates. And they sat down. We sat over here, cordial greeting and welcome. The counselor sat over on the side. And I forget whether Cynthia started or I did, but we went through our list. And before we finished, one of the other of us finished the first or second one, there were tears. One just sobbed. Just sobbed. We had no idea that the pain had been that deep. And then we went on through the list. He said, don't name 40 things, you know. Pick the things that you know would be the significant, and the Lord will show you. Talk them over if you need to between the two of you, but you work through. I think
I think Cynthia mentioned the 4 or 5. I had 5 or 6. And when she finished, or when I finished, the other one stepped up. And we could hardly get through it. It was the most emotionally draining experience of our lives. As these four, who mean more to us than life itself, are sitting there and hearing their mom and dad describe what we now have come to realize. Most of our comments began with, "I have now come to realize." And we named them, and at each one we ended with, "I am very sorry, and I would ask for you to forgive me. I want you to know how sincerely sorry I am." We didn't say we said I, each one of us with our list. When we finished, the counselors said, "That's fine. You should leave." We didn't get a response except the tears. No one interrupted anybody. It was a soul searching, I don't know, over an hour. We walked out, wept on our way out, wept in the car, cried on the way home. He spent time with them. I don't know what he told them. I don't know what they said. But he caught a hold of us, and he was ready to go back to the airport. We went by to pick him up, and they were all gone. And he got in the car, and he said, "If I've ever witnessed the way it ought to be done, it was today." He said, "I've done this before. I have seen families go through this," but he said, "Today you did what you should have done. And they heard you. What they say to you, back to you, whenever they're led to say it, will be between you and them. But you need to know there is nothing more you need to say about it. And we have not said another word about it." It was left there, and different ones of them responded in different ways. Some took longer. Some responded right away. One did especially, and then another. There's a little sense of distance still with one. Though we have a good relationship with them, we just long for there to be a relief and release. But I remember our friends saying to us, the counselor saying to us, and I've said it to Cynthia several times, because your mind plays tricks on you. You want to keep doing this. You want to keep thinking, what more? What can I? What should I? Should I have said? No. Stop. That's it. The man said, "You have done all you need to do. Leave it. Now bring your gift to the altar, and we'll let the Lord take it from here." And so we have chosen to do that. Why do I tell you that? Because I want you to know, I would never ask anything of you that we would not do personally. And some of you are long overdue. The good thing is, I don't know who you are. I don't need to know. To be frank about it, I don't want to know, because I'm not the one that's been offended. But I'll tell you this, when we go to our grave, we'll go with a clear conscience, because we did what should have been done, and we did it the right way, under the wise eyes of a very godly friend, professional, who helped us walk through that journey. And by the way, the torturers have fled away.
A rare glimpse into the personal life of our teacher today, sharing from his heart about pursuing our offspring with love, forgiveness, and grace. Now, the most important part of your day is only moments away as we prepare to spend several unhurried minutes together in prayer. So please stay with us for an extended time of reflection. You're listening to Insight for Living, and if you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Today, we heard a sensitive message from Chuck Swindoll about resolving those parent-child conflicts. To take your next steps in cultivating healthy relationships, I'd like to recommend a book Chuck has written. Whether you're the mom or dad of young children, or you're the parents of young adults who are starting families of their own, we're confident you'll appreciate the biblical wisdom in this classic book called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving. As a Bible teacher, a dad to four adult children, and now a grandfather, these biblical principles were forged in the crucible of Chuck's personal experience. Nearly 300 pages in length, he covers a broad range of relevant topics for families who truly desire to follow God's plan. The book is insightful, and it contains a wealth of wisdom. To purchase a copy of Parenting from Surviving to Thriving, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. Now, please keep in mind, it's not the purchase of books and resources that fuels this nonprofit ministry, but rather the voluntary donations of grateful friends. And your gifts truly make an impact, especially during this critical pandemic crisis when families are looking to Insight for Living for biblical hope and wisdom. You can give a donation today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. And now let's conclude our time together by asking God to help us pursue forgiveness.
Please bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment or two. Just sit there quietly. See that face? There he is again. There she is again. William Arthur Ward wrote, "We are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive." I beg of you, I plead with you, don't just drive on. Don't just slip away saying, "Well, maybe someday I'll get miserable enough, I'll deal with that." Nope. The problem with that is you're making everybody else around you miserable, more than you realize and more than they've ever told you. See, the torturers love captives. And if one has you in its grip, he's also gripping others around you. If there is someone, if there is anyone that you need to come to terms with, it's your move. If you are right now living in unfaithfulness and you are lying to your partner, it's only a matter of time before that will come to the surface and you will regret the day you determine not to confess that and make that right. Mark my word. And you are living with the torturer. May the Spirit of God touch your heart deeply to the point where you will not let this week pass without moving in that direction. May God keep you restless and sleepless and broken until you make that right. This may very well explain the reason your family is not closer than it is. It may be that your need today is just exactly what Louis was, and that's to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, to take His grace, to claim His forgiveness, to let Him be the reason you can go on. So if that's true, take care of that. We don't beg you to be converted here, but I can assure you if you choose not to be, you are in for a lifetime of that kind of torture. May you know no rest. May you have no peace. May every day be restless and every night sleepless till you trust in Him.
And if it is possible, I say to the others of you that if there is someone you need to forgive, will you please, for God's sake, for your sake, take care of that today. If there is someone you need to make it right with, will you please take care of that this week? Soon as you can line it up, swallow your pride, accept the fact you are at fault, leave your gift, go be reconciled. Either way, it's your move. Our Father, we come from all different backgrounds, different cultures, different nationalities. We are all different ages, all have different experiences. We are from different parents, different roots. We've known different excruciating, painful moments. But we all have this in common. We are sinful. And we're surrounded by a sinful race of people, some of whom have hurt us, some of whom we have hurt. I pray that you will give us the broad-shouldered response that says, I will not live with this any longer. I will acknowledge what I have done. I will not live in secret. I will come out in the open. And I will release my own life from the torturers and others who come to me, fully forgiving them, even if they don't come. May forgiveness be our lifestyle. And as a result, will you build into our homes a harmony and a joy and relief like we've never known before? Please, Lord, start today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everyone said, Amen.
Tomorrow, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll talk about accepting reproof from those who love us. Join us on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.